on the church in exile. One of the aspects of living in exile is that we often remember what it used to be like. And there was a day in which we were the cool kids, and we sat at the cool kid table. Remember the days in which all of the Hollywood celebrities were Christians, all clamoring to be in the next Cecil B. DeMille production, when Edward G. Robinson and John Wayne lined up to get a bit part in the Ten Commandments, or the greatest story ever told, where Max von Sydow played Jesus, the great Bergman actor, when Charlton Heston was the spokesperson, when the Disney girl, Annette Funicello, spoke for the church. Remember, these were the cool kids. Now today, they're hopelessly old, and the brand is hopelessly old and rusty. The gloss is off of the Disney girls from the 50s, and now we have a new sort of celebrity, a new group of people who are seeking, and a new group of people who, frankly, have turned us away from the cool kid table. Today's faith is an ugly faith. It's a faith that is filled with people who have had their better moments. We are the AANA faith group. Our Christian celebrities are Alice Cooper, after the best of his years. And we have others who come to Jesus, but only in the darkened days of their life. Even Franklin Graham went through a leather jacket motorcycle phase before he came to Jesus. Our faith is no longer popular. And that, my friends, might be exactly where Jesus wants it to be. Not because it is the cool thing to do, but because it is God's call to relationship and to fellowship. Jesus calls the lost. A physician doesn't come to heal the well. And Jesus came for people like the tax collector, the chief tax collector, Zacchaeus. Now, we pay attention to the wee little man aspect of Zacchaeus because it makes for great children's Sunday school program. We like that he's short, that he climbed a sycamore tree. It's a visual image. But the truth is, Zacchaeus was well known. And he was one of those types of people that we would call someone with, well, I've been accused of it at times, short man's disease. The type of person that seeks to be an achiever. And because they are small, they seek to be big. Now, Zacchaeus had become big in his time. And this is what we often forget about Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was famous. He was infamous in his time. He was popular, someone who people knew. As the chief tax collector, he was someone that everyone tried to grease. Everyone tried to schmooze. Everyone wanted to get to know him and have him on his good side. Why? Because he held power. And people that hold power and authority have friends. They don't have true friends, but they have friends who will show up and show out. They'll be present for their parties. They'll show up for their celebrations. They'll be there simply to make sure that they are seen. And Zacchaeus wants to be seen. But this person is not someone who normally walks in Zacchaeus' orbit. Zacchaeus is an outcast in polite society, but we all have to understand that celebrity society is not polite. You can become popular without being respected. And if you look at today's world, you will discover that the popular people are not respectable. The most popular shows on television, our celebrity culture is often reality television stars. Several years ago, I began to notice that when I went to the checkout lines and I looked at the magazines, I didn't know who any of the people were on them. It used to be that the celebrities were people that I knew from television and from movies. Today, the celebrities are the people from the reality shows. They're the people that are getting married on television. They're the people that are dating, 30 of their best friends to find who their new mate is going to be. And we follow them breathlessly. We don't admit it, but someone's watching those shows. People are making the Kardashians billionaires with a B. And I don't even know who they are. They are popular, but they're not respectable. And Zacchaeus was one of them. Zacchaeus was the type of person who everyone knew, even though no one respected. And Zacchaeus had everything, but he had a hole in his heart. He had an emptiness in his soul. He had a recognition that something was deeply wrong with the world that he lived in. Zacchaeus was troubled. And we have people in our world today that are troubled. Today I want to share with you a little bit about this young fella, Kanye West. Some of you didn't know who he was until about 10 years ago. President Bush was president at the time, and Hurricane Katrina happened. And young Kanye, a rapper that many people understood, but Americans in the middle of the country probably didn't really know, he showed up on television at an event to get money for the victims of Hurricane Katrina. And while Mike Myers stood white-faced and horrified, Kanye West announced to the world that President Bush just didn't like black people. And for many people, this was the first time they met Kanye. Kanye was a rapper and a celebrity. Kanye was someone who at the MTV Video Awards embarrassed a young, beautiful Taylor Swift while she was receiving her award and told the world that Beyoncé deserved it instead. Kanye West was no one's friend. No one less than President Obama referred to him as a donkey. Yes, a jack, you show it. And you could quote the president on that. Kanye West was the number one rapper in the country. Everyone knew his work, and everyone thought he was mentally ill. And the truth was, he was mentally ill, and he is. Kanye West has had a number of problems, the least of which was that he married Kim Kardashian. When it comes to celebrity culture, Kanye West is the Zacchaeus of our times. And last week, Kanye West dropped his new album, Jesus is King. 3 years ago, he wrote a song that said that he was God. And today, he's saying Jesus is Lord and Savior and King. How strange. By the way, something else happened this last week. I don't know if you saw this, but Lamar Odom, the former basketball player, sixth man, last time we heard of Lamar Odom, he was actually almost dead in a brothel. And the former ex-husband of Khloe Kardashian, Lamar Odom, became a born-again Christian and was baptized last week. Something weird is happening in our world. Kanye West, Lamar Odom, Justin Bieber, Alec Baldwin's daughter, they're becoming born-again Christians. The jokes of the celebrity culture, the second tier, the B-lists, they're accepting Jesus as their Savior. Kanye West used to be the African-American in the Make America Great hat. Now he's the Jesus is King musician. There is no one that you would rather avoid more than Kanye to start a religious movement with. But he's exactly the kind of person that Jesus shows up for. And he's exactly the kind of person that Jesus says, I want to go to your house. I want to preach from your pulpit. I want to go to where you live, and I want to relate to the people that you live with. Recognize that's what it means to go to your house. You see, Jesus eating with sinners, it's not simply a matter of Jesus hanging out with the wrong crowd. It's Jesus going to where they live. When Jesus goes into literally the cast of the Kardashians, Jesus is showing up where the wrong crowd lives. He's eating with sinners. The crazy thing is that we name drop these people as the wretched, unrighteous people that we want to avoid being like, right? Oh, I don't want to be like those people. And we teach our kids in Sunday school class to avoid being like those people, right? And then God goes about and says, they're your people. And more than that, they're my people. You see, God's about doing something. And God's doing it today. The church doesn't realize it because the church still wants to be at the cool kids table. The church is still trying to relive the past instead of to imagine and envision a future that's different. Our future doesn't get Charlton Heston, it gets Kanye West. Okay? We don't get what they had. We get what God gives us. Kanye's telling the world that it's his job to let people know what Jesus has done for me. Kanye recognizes that he was caught in a trap. He talks about his addiction to pornography. He talks about the things that he has been doing his entire life as a man, from the time he was a child, to be something that he thought he should be. And it led him to failure and to loss. And one day he showed up at a church. He showed up at the back of the church. He showed up for a couple of weeks. And then finally, after 3-4 weeks, he waited in the back for the pastor and he talked to the pastor. The pastor knew he was there. It's hard to avoid Kanye. And they talked. And over the last 6 to 8 months, the pastor has been talking to Kanye. Kanye moved out to a ranch in Wyoming, and he asked the pastor to come. He flies the pastor out every weekend to preach at his worship services in Wyoming from California. The pastor comes out and does it. It's a small church. One of the things that Kanye's been doing, he's been bringing this music and the worship services on tour with him. He recently was in Detroit, and they did a worship service there, in complete with preaching. Kanye is showing the world that Jesus is king. Now, we aren't sure where this is going to lead. We don't know if Kanye is going to be a good example for the church. We're reluctant to hang our hat on celebrity Christians, and rightly so. But let's recognize what God is doing. God is taking what the world despises and transforming it. That's what God does. God starts with the least and moves from there. God has taken someone who no one respected, though everyone admired the talent that the man had. And God is building something from it. Now, Kanye's going to do what every other Christian does. He's going to succeed and he's going to fail. He's going to make his mistakes, and some of them, unfortunately for him, are going to be very, very public. People are going to take shots at him. They're going to accuse him of things, and they're going to give him too much credit for things. At the end of the day, if Kanye does the job of every Christian, he's going to glorify Jesus, and that's what he'll do. He'll take none of the credit for himself, and he'll give it to the Lord. He'll say, Jesus is king, and I am servant. But there's something else that he's going to be in the midst of doing, something that we all have to do, something that Zacchaeus did that we often forget when we give our lives to Jesus. Zacchaeus repented. Now, repentance doesn't simply mean that you say you're sorry. That's what most of us think repentance is. Most of us simply think repentance is, I'm sorry, Jesus, will you forgive me? Will you reinstate me into my position? And Jesus says, I'll give you your position back. You're forgiven. You don't have to worry about your sins anymore. Wow, that's great. But repentance is deeper than that. True repentance isn't simply regret and apology. But repentance, biblically, is a change in vision, purpose, and lifestyle. When Zacchaeus demonstrates genuine repentance in the Gospel of Luke, what happens is he gives half his money, half his property to the poor. He repays anyone who he's defrauded. Zacchaeus is a man whose wealth was his power, whose wealth was his status, whose wealth was who he was and why people spent any time with him at all. And what he did in front of the entire crowd was he said, Jesus, I repent of who I am and who I've been. And I am going to now live a different life. Jesus responds by saying, today salvation has come to this house. Recognize it was the repentance, it was the change, it was the transformation of Zacchaeus. You have to understand who he was to understand why this is important. He was a money man. And what does he say? No to money. The temptation for the celebrity Christian is that they are fame monsters. And part of what a celebrity Christian needs to do is to say no to status and to fame and to wealth. Now, we have a hard time with that in the church because, frankly, most of us want what they have. And that's where we have to repent. Because many of us would love the idea of having the money to give. But Jesus is calling us to a repentance from the way the world lives. And the temptations that most of us fall into is that we want what the world can offer. And when we go after that, Too frequently, it means rejecting Jesus from our household. Dinner becomes a time where we plot to achieve. We all have a little bit of small man's disease. And most of us want to be big in one way or another. But the truth is it's not about us being big. It's about Jesus being king and us serving the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Many of us in the church wish for the day in which we could reclaim the cool kid table. But the truth is, God has given us a place that is just right for us today. A place of humility and a place in which each of us can invite a friend. We have a church that has room for someone else. Think about it that way. Many of us think we have a church that's too small. No, we have a church that has room for people who've never been before. We have a church that has room for you to invite someone who wouldn't feel comfortable in another church. We have a church that has room for someone to come and grow with us. We are a church that's right where God wants us to be if we're willing to repent of our old ways and fully embrace the grace of God. When we receive God's grace, what do? We give God's grace. So we say, thank God that he has welcomed Kanye West to his table, that he's taken a place in his house, that Jesus is king in Kanye's world. And we're going to pray for Kanye. And we're going to pray for Alice Cooper. And we're going to pray for Justin Bieber. And we're going to pray for the other Christians who have come out of nowhere. And you know what else we're going to do? We're going to pray for our neighbors, the other despised people, the people that are on drugs on our street, the people that are outcasts or maybe incasts, the people that seem to have everything but don't have Jesus. We are going to lift them up and we're going to offer them Jesus because Jesus wants to come to their house too. The question that the church has to ask is, do we want Jesus in our house? Are we going to be the people who will see the grace of God moving and share it with the world? Jesus' followers weren't the cool kids. He had Luke, who was a tax collector. He had Matthew, who was a tax collector. He had Peter and John, who were fishermen. He had Judas, who was potentially an assassin. He had Simon, who was a zealot. He had people who were Gentiles and Greek speakers. He had all sorts of weird group people. None of them were the cool kids. And he built a church upon the Spirit of God that infused that group. They became the body of Christ. And today you're that body. Live with the understanding that God has called you by his grace to be his body today. It doesn't matter what the world thinks about you. What matters is who Jesus says you are. And Jesus says that you are the body of Christ. Who are you going to invite to the table? Who are you going to share the gospel with? Who are you going to bless today? Wherever you go, you bring Jesus with you. Bless your world and call them to the table. In a moment, we're going to celebrate communion, the place where the grace of God is made future even as it's present while we remember its past. God has called us by to remember what Jesus has accomplished, to call us to the present with a vision of the future. It is past, present, and future. It shows us where God has been and tells us where God is going. And where God is going is to a place where we will all join together at his table, at the banquet, at his house. Today we're eating at our house. Jesus shared this meal with the past, with the disciples in the past. He calls us in the present because in the future we're all going to gather together. As we join here, we remember that God has forgiven us and we remember to forgive others. When we join here, we remember that God has saved us, which prompts us to seek the salvation of the lost. When we join here, we remember that Jesus is King and he carried his cross for the sake of us. As we prepare for communion, I would ask that you would prepare for repentance. Ask yourself, what is it that is hanging over your life that is in the way of you fully serving God? Repent and believe. Let's change so that the world might know Jesus as King. Let's pray together. Loving God, you've called your church by your grace and by your blood. You've called us to change, to repent, to seek your grace and salvation. Loving God, we believe. We've said we are sorry, but many Christians, we, Lord, haven't changed like we should. We continue to live in old patterns. We continue to live in old ways. We continue to serve the old gods of fame and wealth and popularity. Loving God, help us to serve you. Help us to be citizens of your kingdom. Help us to be followers of Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. We repent. We ask your mercy and your grace, and we ask that you transform our lives even as we ask if you would come and join us at this holy meal. And we pray it all in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's continue to worship.